KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. Temperatures holding steady at 32 degrees. We look for it to be cloudy today with a high of 37. Winds southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. A winter weather advisory will be in effect for all counties along and south of Interstate 80 beginning at 6 p.m. And that advisory is for snow anywhere from 2 to 6 inches as possible across our listing area. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A chase that began last night in Omaha ended near the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office with several suspects taken into custody. According to Omaha television station KETV, Omaha police initiated the pursuit of a Honda Accord after someone in the vehicle opened fire near a funeral in the vicinity of 24th and I Streets. Omaha police were already patrolling in the area and located the suspect vehicle. The resulting chase went onto I-29 northbound and into Iowa on the east side of Epley Airfield near the Pott County Sheriff's Office. Police told the TV station three suspects attempted to run near the Honey Creek exit. They are in custody in the Pottawatomie County Jail, and no names have been released at this time. Sheriff's officials in Pottawatomie County report a Nebraska man was arrested Wednesday night following a pursuit. Authorities say at around 9:50 p.m., Pott County Dispatch advised by a radio traffic that Washington County, Nebraska deputies were in pursuit of a black 1998 Acura and that they terminated their pursuit at the Nebraska-Iowa state line. Washington County authorities advised that the vehicle had continued eastbound on Interstate 680 into Iowa. That vehicle was later located by Pott County Deputy Adams Fields, and the traffic stop was conducted. The driver of the car, 29-year-old Bradley Sutton of Omaha, was taken into custody on charges of eluding and OWI second offense. Sentencing has been delayed for a Western Iowa man who operated a dog business where carcasses and dozens of malnourished dogs were found. A judge delayed the sentencing schedule for this past Wednesday for Dustin Young so authorities could complete a pre-sentence report. The new date for the hearing is February 13th. Pottawatomie County court records say Young pleaded guilty to 12 counts of animal neglect after prosecutors had dismissed 28 others. The dogs and carcasses were discovered last May at Young Gunn's Kennel about 2 miles southeast of Hancock. Officials say the inside of the business was covered with animal urine and feces. There was no food or water for the dogs. Creston police arrested two persons on separate charges Thursday. At around 1:40 p.m., 33-year-old Anthony Charles Wasson of Creston was arrested at a residence on the charge of domestic assault. He was released on a promise to appear in court. And a little after 7 p.m., 57-year-old Timothy Allen Sly of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was being held in the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. Officials of the Cass County Health System in Atlantic have announced that the next Healthy You session will take place beginning at noon next Thursday, January 17th, in conference room number 2 at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. During the free session, Dr. Todd Bean, Chief Medical Officer, and Carrie Schmidt, Director of Diagnostic Imaging, will make a presentation on lung health and new lung cancer screening. Healthy You is a monthly free educational series. The public is invited and welcome to attend, but reservations are required as a meal is provided for all attendees. You can call 243-7479 to reserve your seat. The partial government shutdown has cut services at wildlife preserves, but it's not stopping bird watchers and other wildlife enthusiasts from exploring. At the DeSoto National Wildlife Refuge, the visitor center and most of the trails are closed, but John Calhoun from Papillion, Nebraska, says he still had a productive day of taking pictures of the birds.
Seen some eagles, some hawks, and that's pretty much about it. And a lot of cars.
Staff numbers at DeSoto have been reduced by the shutdown, but Chuck Traxler with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said the limited trail access is not related to what's going on in Washington.
There are areas that may be closed at certain times of the year, not as a result of federal funding, but in order to protect wildlife or unique ecological habitats.
And the Fish and Wildlife is not charging entrance fees at refuges during the partial shutdown, which is in its third week. Iowa has 7 national wildlife refuges. Traxler encourages people to get out and visit them, even while the government is shut down. State officials say if there is a prolonged shutdown of federal agencies like the USDA, they may shore up state programs run in conjunction with the federal government. Governor Kim Reynolds spoke Thursday at a state house forum organized by the Associated Press.
I'm proud of the fact that we do things differently here in Iowa. I think Iowans don't like what they see happening out in Washington, D.C., and they like the fact that for the most part, two parties are able to work together to put Iowans first.
Reynolds told reporters her budget director checks every day with state agencies that may be impacted by a federal government shutdown to ensure that essential services are provided to Iowans.
Right now, we're in pretty good shape. We're hoping that they can get something done. Who knows right now what that looks like, but we'll continue to monitor it.
House Speaker Linda Upmeyer, Republican from Clear Lake, says the election's over and it's time to get to work.
I don't want to speculate too far into the future, but we need people to get busy and solve their problems, find solutions, compromise, and get this job done.
House Democratic Leader Todd Pritchard of Charles City says if the state eventually has to fill voids in federal spending, that may create some budget headaches.
I think the situation at in D.C. shows the importance of Iowa having sound budgeting principles and practices and being in a position to where we can deal with the unexpected, whether it's a federal shutdown, whether it's a sudden downturn in the economy.
The food stamp program is a joint state-federal program run through the USDA, which is shuttered, and the U.S. Ag Secretary has said there's enough money to provide benefits in February if the shutdown continues. Janet Peterson of Des Moines, the Democratic leader in the Iowa Senate, says if the shutdown lasts longer, state officials need to act.
I can't imagine that we wouldn't assure Iowans that we'll make sure that they can put food on the table if things in D.C. are still going horribly wrong.
Peterson says Iowans deserve to know that they'll be able to feed their families. The state of Iowa ended the last budgeting year with a surplus. Estimates indicate there's a $200 million cushion in the current year's state budget. That's in addition to the state's economic emergency funds. Republican Senator Joni Ernst says now that there is a divided government in Washington, it's up to President Trump and Democratic congressional leaders to find a border security solution that ends the partially government shutdown.
I would tend to agree that not all areas of our border needs a physical barrier. If those are adequately patrolled by Border Patrol agents, if we have the technology to monitor those areas without having a physical barrier and can adequately respond in a timely manner to illegal border crossings.
But Ernst says some areas of the border can only be secured with a barrier of some form. She says capturing terrorists, drug smugglers, gun runners, and human traffickers along the border is a national security priority.
And by having a physical barrier in some of those places, we can shape the way the traffic is flowing, the foot traffic.
Ernst says she learned in the military that barriers on a battlefield funnel people into areas where they can be apprehended. She told Iowa reporters on a conference call yesterday that she would not support a deal that only funds more agents and more surveillance along the border because a wall or fencing is necessary in some areas. The smartest way to move, according to Ernst, is to have Border Patrol agents and the Department of Homeland Security map things out.
I do think it needs to be a comprehensive plan which allows us to make smart choices on how we spend our dollars on the border.
About 25% of the federal government has been shut down since December 22nd. President Trump has repeatedly said he will not agree to reopen the government until Congress approves $5.7 billion for a border wall. The news was brought to you this hour by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.